worst case scenario was to get through both chambers, then it would be upon our president and that White House to veto that kind of legislation.
The final report in a series explaining legislation that could affect tens of thousands of acres of Southeast Alaska's forest. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more coming up. Ketchikan's Kyle Johansson and Anchorage's Charisse Millett face a trial run before getting another shot at rejoining the House Majority Caucus. The two Republicans left the organization last year, then asked to rejoin. The caucus said no at a Sunday meeting, but it left the door open for future consideration. House leaders announced Tuesday that their pair would each get one committee assignment. Speaker Mike Chenault said they'll have a chance to regain the caucus's trust.
If we hadn't assigned them any committee assignments, the only work they would have been able to do would be on the floor. And that would, in our opinion, have been unfair to them to, on one hand, ask them to participate and show us what you can do, and then not give them the opportunity to participate.
Johansson got a seat on the State Affairs Committee. Millett won a spot on the Health and Social Services Committee. Chenault says neither asked for those particular seats, and the only reason they were assigned to those committees was they were open.
We're going to watch and see how they do in committee, make sure that they're participating, and you know that decision will be made at a future date, whether that's into session or later or sometime, I can't tell you that.
The assignments leave Johansson and Millett with little power. Most lawmakers have multiple assignments and many chair or co-chair committees. Johansson was last session's majority leader, a powerful post he was offered before he left the caucus. He also served on one regular committee and five finance subcommittees in last year's legislature. Millett last session co-chaired the House Energy Committee and was a member of four other regular committees and three finance subcommittees. The subcommittees review budgets for state departments. Every new session of Congress is a clean slate. Bills that didn't pass in the previous two-year cycle disappear. It's up to members of Congress to dust off their old bills and reintroduce them. One of those that'll soon get new life is the controversial Sea Alaska Lands Bill, which would give the Alaska Native Corporation the option to select different lands in the Tongass National Forest. As APRN's Libby Casey reports from Washington, exactly what form the bill will take will soon be seen.
The truth is, no Sea Alaska bill really exists right now because no member of Congress has introduced it yet this year. They will, but first, Senator Lisa Murkowski wants to hear more from Southeast Alaska, where the bill is controversial. Her spokesman on the Energy Committee, Robert Dillon.
Senator Murkowski's made a commitment to hold listening sessions with Southeast Alaska before moving the bill forward again. So I think there'll be an attempt to try to work out all of the kinks in the bill before reintroduction.
Last summer, Murkowski revised the bill after hearing concerns from residents, environmentalists, and land users, such as guides, who don't like the power it gives Sea Alaska to select lands, different from the ones they now have access to. Murkowski's revisions reduced the acres of old-growth timber Sea Alaska would get. It also gave the corporation fewer future sites, which are plots where development like tourism or renewable energy production could take place.
Staff, I think, made a Herculean effort to get out to the communities during the winter and talk to as many people as possible and listen to the concerns of the constituents and the local residents and do everything they could to make changes and reach compromises in the bill to find acreage that was not objectionable. It was, you're never going to make everyone happy, but I think that a lot of effort was extended and continues to be extended to find the best compromise possible.
Sea Alaska approves of the changes, but environmentalists still have problems. Brian McNitt in Sitka with the Alaska Conservation Foundation explains.
It certainly had improvements, but there were some major problems with the bill. They never really addressed the issues of the future sites that were near many of the communities that had real concerns about those, and also the areas that they would like to log, primarily on Prince Wales Island, are in some of the most valuable fish and wildlife habitat areas left on Prince Wales that still have old growth. And so we still have a lot of concerns about those.
Democratic Senator Mark Begich has been getting an earful about the bill from Alaskans. He's watching to see what Senator Murkowski crafts and doing his own listening in Southeast.
The Sea Alaska bill, as modified by Senator Murkowski, and still probably more tweaks is my bet, that you know, I'll look at that. I'll more than likely be a co-sponsor, as I was this last 2 years. But we also have to be realistic. The larger picture of the Tongass.
Despite the massaging done and still being done to the Senate version, Congressman Don Young plans to reintroduce in the House the original version, the one that's caused the most controversy.
The reason behind that is the original bill was thought out. And I don't like to negotiate from a position halfway there and from that position again get negotiated into a position of really not gaining the goal. And I still say that Sea Alaska has an entitlement to that land.
Sea Alaska Vice President Rick Harris says the Murkowski Compromise version has a better chance of gaining traction.
Congressman Young has some strong opinions, and we will talk to him about what we think the strengths and the weaknesses of the Murkowski bill will be. We will encourage him where we have gone through and worked out compromises or solutions to recognize those. But ultimately, it's a congressman's choice.
Congressman Young says as the head of a new subcommittee on Alaska Native and Native American issues, he'll be able to move the bill through the Natural Resources Committee. But a group of House members is against the bill, and 58 of them signed onto a letter last year stating their opposition. Arizona Democrat Raul Grijalva is leading the effort. He says it's important for the government to fulfill its obligations to tribes, but not at the cost of national forests.
What Don Young wants is to go into the heart of old-growth, pristine wilderness forest area. And I think that opens up many other threats to the forest. So that was our opposition.
Grijalva says the bill can probably pass the House now that it's in Republican hands. He does not expect it to become law, but he is bracing for a drawn-out battle.
And that's going to be the fight. I think it'll probably get out of the House, given the makeup and the demeanor and the tone of this new majority. It'll have a very tough row in the Senate getting through there. And then I think interesting amount of pressure on the White House as to the worst case scenario was to get through both chambers. Then it would be upon our president and that White House to veto that kind of legislation.
Senator Begich says he doubts that Young's unaltered bill can become law because it won't have the support of enough Democrats or the president.
I don't think the original can pass through both parties and survive a presidential review. So we have to be reasonable about this. The Tongass is a much bigger issue than just Sea Alaska. I mean, we got landless communities, we got veterans, we got mental health lands trusts. I mean, my hope would be that we'd have a longer, more comprehensive resolution to this. Otherwise, we're going to be battling Tongass issues for the next 20 years. And who's going to make these decisions? Not Congress, courts. That would be the last thing that, from Alaska perspective, we want our judges making decisions about Alaska land use. That would be the worst thing we can do.
Murkowski's website says she, too, wants to consider the bigger picture of the Tongass, but after the Sea Alaska bill, which she says will set the stage for future panhandle legislation. As far as whether a Sea Alaska bill could be included in a larger lands package, advocates say it's too early to tell, but that pairing up bills can help a local issue gain momentum. Opponents say they'll watch out to see that isn't done. Staffers say a bill is like a whale, traveling out of sight underwater, quietly moving along until it finally breaches the surface. Until the Sea Alaska bill does, it's a matter of waiting and lobbying Congress to influence what will be in it. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
You can find all six reports in the Sea Alaska Lands Bill series on our website at khns.org. You can also share any feedback you have on the series if you send an email to news@coastalaska.org. A suspended jail sentence for the other hunter implicated in baiting bears and taking a black wolf known as Romeo in Juneau. 46-year-old Jeffrey Peacock of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, pled guilty in Juneau District Court earlier this month to baiting bears without a permit, unlawful possession of game, and unsworn falsification. Three other charges were dismissed as part of an agreement with prosecutors. Peacock did not make any statement besides entering his plea and answering routine questions during the hearing.
I'm ill, but it will not affect my judgment.
Peacock was sentenced to 6 months in jail, all suspended. He was fined $5,000 with $3,000 suspended. He must also pay $600 restitution for a black bear he shot off Glacier Highway near the Shrine of St. Therese. He'll also be on probation and have his hunting privileges revoked for 3 years. But a rifle and a pistol seized by Alaska State Troopers will be returned to him. Peacock is reportedly terminally ill with colon cancer and unable to do any community work service. District Court Judge Keith Levy says the sentence is actually consistent with any other first-time offender convicted of misdemeanor hunting charges.
I can't ignore the fact that a lot of people in the community feel that this case is different, and that the animal, the wolf involved, is was something special to this community, and people are angry about it and unhappy about it. I don't think that pushes me toward imposing a sentence that involves jail on a first offense. I think that would be extremely rare.
Peacock was with 40-year-old Park Myers III when they baited bears out the road and killed the black wolf. The violations occurred between May of 2009 and May of last year. Myers received an 11-month prison sentence, all suspended during his change of plea last November. He'll also pay $6,600 in fines and restitution, do community work service, lose his weapons, and is prohibited from hunting while he's on probation for the next 2 years. Myers set up the bear bait station and shot the black wolf in September of 2009. Peacock claimed during sealing that he killed the wolf to take the heat off Myers. Peacock participated in the court proceeding telephonically, and no one else attended aside from a prosecutor and a defense attorney. The quiet, low-key hearing was in contrast to November's sentencing of Myers that included a courtroom gallery filled with wildlife and ethical hunting advocates and other interested observers. State troopers also displayed the hide of the black wolf during that hearing in Juneau. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.